Come on, let them win. Absolutely. Hallelujah. Don't you love our kids? Love the kids. Love the kids. Hallelujah. Come on. God is good. His mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Glory to God. Happy Mother's Day. Amen. My mother's been in heaven for quite a few years, but I think about her every Mother's Day. You know, I'm obviously married to the mother of my children, and I appreciate her, and I appreciate the sacrifice that she went through. Let me just tell you a little story about Mother's Day. There was a lady, and she called her husband, and she was in her car. She called her husband, and she said, honey, yeah? Do you remember when we had kids that we had the baby, that we were pregnant? Yeah. Do you remember that we, we went into the hospital together to have the baby? We had the baby? Yes. You remember when the baby was born that we delivered the baby? Yes. She said, well, honey, we just dented the car. We just dented the car. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John is the epistle of John. John's the one who was close to Jesus, had his heart, had his head. You know, I mean, John's the one that rested his head on Jesus' shoulder, and he was really close to him. He's one of the inner circle. So he knew him. He was tight with him. And in the first part of this chapter, he starts to talk and he says, listen, that which we handled, that which we tasted, that which we were around, come on, we want to share with you. We're not just sharing a story. We're not just sharing something that we've read about or that we studied about. We're sharing somebody who we experienced. Sometimes I wonder if our telling about Jesus would be better if we relied on our experience with Him more than our head knowledge of Him. You know, Jesus loves you. How do I know? Because He loves me. Right? And our testimony, you know, your testimony is unique to you, but it shares your experience with Him. This is who I was. This is what was going on in my life. This is what was happening. But one day I accepted Jesus and that everything turned around for me. Now, it's not that everything became perfect, because it doesn't, right? But it turned around for me. So in 1 John, we're going to start in verse 3. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, that which we have seen and we've heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. See, He's not saying, we're going to talk to you about the one we had fellowship with. Well, we're not going to talk to you about the one that we experienced all those years ago. We're going to talk to you the one that we still experience, that we still have fellowship with, that we still talk to, and He still talks to us. Right? This was written late in John's life, and he was, you know, this is, I think it was after he had the revelation when he was on the island of Patmos and God showed him all of these things. But he's saying, listen, it's that same one that we're talking to you about. And not just that, we don't want to just talk to you about our experience so you can see how great things were for us. We want you to have the same experience. We want you to know it's possible for you to talk with Him and let Him talk to you. Woo! Glory to God. I don't know, that doesn't anything for you but it floats my boat. Hallelujah. No, seriously, I got saved because a guy told me, God told me this, God told me that, and God showed me this. And I know that there's some people out there that abuse all of that, but when he was telling me that, I said, God, if there is a God, if you're really talking to Him, is it possible for you to talk to me? And so I said, listen, If you talk to him, have him start talking on this subject that was bothering me, something that was going on in my life. Have him start talking, and I'm telling you, the next thing out of his mouth was exactly what I was talking to the God who I didn't know in my head. I said, "Woo, that's quite a coincidence." And so I did it again. God did it again. He said it again. And I went, "God, if you talk to him, will you talk to me?" See, I grew up knowing that God talked to somebody in the church, but he was way up in the church, and then it came downhill to where God would finally talk to somebody else, and then everybody else would tell us what God said. That's not relationship. Right? And what he's saying here is that I want you to know that God will talk to you. The same way that he talked to us, you can have fellowship with him just like we have fellowship with him. Woo! Glory to God. And when I say God talks to me, I'm not talking about I hear this voice or he calls my phone. I don't have dreams or visions. But what he does is he puts thoughts in my head that weren't there before. Or he'll, and oftentimes it's like this, turn to, and he'll give me a Bible verse. And I'll read that, and there'll be the answer that comes. But what I want you to know is that he wants you to have a relationship with him. He wants to be able to talk to you. Look at verse 4, and this is what I want to talk to you about. See, all of this, and then he says this, "And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full." We can determine how we're doing with our relationship with God on our joy level. Right? How's the tank? Well, it's down at half. Or it's down at a quarter. Or it's down at that line that's almost empty. Right? But we can top it off all the time. Right? The way we top it off is that we talk to him. I've challenged people before. You might even believe in God. But I dare you to ask him to reveal himself to you. And if you're honest, and if you'll truly say that, and you'll listen, he'll do it. How's he going to do it? I don't know. But he does it differently to everybody, right? Because he's personal. He loves you. He wants you. Glory to God. But he wants to reveal himself to you for your joy to be full. And I like joy better than I like happiness. Because happiness is determined by circumstances. But joy is determined by relationship. When I know that I know that I know that I'm with him. And I know that I know that I know that he loves me. And I know where everything is going. And when I know what he said about the way situations are going to work out, even if I don't like the circumstances that I'm in or that I find myself in, I can have joy. 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 And sometimes you have to shout about it. Sometimes you have to begin in faith declaring, God loves me. God's for me. He's not left me. He won't forsake me. Hallelujah. Verse 5 says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all." If you're in a dark place, now don't misunderstand me. I know that we all go through things. But if you're in a dark place, you're not fully in God. I'm not saying you don't have a relationship with him, but you're not absorbed with him. Because if you were in his presence, there would be no darkness. Can you just imagine going to heaven and you're before the throne room and they don't need light up there because of his brilliance. You know, I mean, it's just incredible. You know, and you go up to him and say, "Lord, I need to talk to you because I'm depressed." He'd say, "What's that?" I think that if you walked in the door, depression would go, pfft. Why? Because where there's light, there's no darkness at all. None. It can't exist. So for our darkness, what we need is for Him to show up. And it's hard, man. I mean, it's hard. You want to just sing the blues. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. You know, God, I've got it the worst than anybody I know. You know it? Nobody. And God and Jesus, when they hear you and when they sense that, they say, Jesus, I've never seen a problem like this before. I don't know what we're going to do. No, they get together and they say, listen, all you got, come unto me. What did Jesus say? Come unto me. All you that are heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. In that rest, I'll bring joy. Whew, glory to God. So I'm telling you, your relationship with God needs to step up a notch when depression comes. That means you have to worship Him and praise Him. We'll see that in a minute. When you don't even feel like it. You have to declare to yourself, because your mind is telling you how low you are, but your heart is telling you, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So your mind is trying to keep you down and hindered, but your focus is on the wrong place. Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Anybody ever sinned? Right? I mean, today? Maybe yesterday? Maybe you're sinning right now by not shaking your head yes. But anyway, listen, it's like we've all been there. But when you got born again, when Jesus became Lord of your life, sin was dealt with. It means it's eliminated. It's no longer on your charge. If you go to God with sin that you've already confessed and you go back to Him and say, Lord, you know how terrible that was and what I did. He's going, what are you talking about? Because as far as the east is from the west, I remember your sin no more. So it's in Him and in His presence, even when you blow it, even when you're at your lowest. And the enemy says, oh, you've blown it. God won't love you now. You've got to do penance and you've got to maybe pray for a year and read the Bible through 3 times and then maybe God will. That's a lie. Remember that song? He's as close as the mention of His name. It's really true. It's really true. And He loves you. He's not against you. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth's not in us. Verse 9, but if we confess our sins, what does that mean? Talk to God about your sin. Talk to God about your mistakes. Talk to God when you blow it. He knows it anyway. But watch this. This is so good. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think forgiveness is cool. That's awesome. But to cleanse me from unrighteousness is amazing. That means there's no stain of the thing that I did held on my account. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. If we say that we haven't sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. My little children, chapter 2, verse 1, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What does that mean? I'm not your judge, I'm not your jury, I'm not your executioner. But here's what I am. I'm here to tell you that if you blow it, if you don't, you know, come up to the standard that you think, go to Jesus. Because he's our advocate. What does advocate mean? He's the one that takes our place. He's our lawyer. He's our defense attorney. So even when the enemy comes to accuse us, we have a defense attorney who says, "Your Honor, excuse me. Excuse me, Your Honor. I hear the prosecuting attorney flapping his gums, but excuse me, the blood has been applied to this case." And the judge goes, "Case dismissed." Come on, are you with me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 2 says, "He himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world." What does that mean? Propitiation means the price that was paid to satisfy the crime. It's already been paid for who? Everybody. Even those people that you see on Facebook that you're mad at because they don't believe the same way that you believe. Woo! Glory to God. Even the people that you think, man, that witch that's just out there, and I know she's the head of the covenant, and no, that's not good, but God loves her. God paid the price, and we ought to be praying for those people that they would see. That the light would illuminate their minds so that they could see what God has done for their hearts. And if they would, they could have the same source of joy that you and I have. Because he did it for everybody. I said he did it for everybody. Now by this we know that we know him, and if we keep his commandments. And he says, "I know him," and doesn't, excuse me, "he who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know that we are in him. For he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." That's a pretty tough standard. I'm supposed to walk just like he. How can I? I can only walk like him if I stay in him. I can only walk like him when I believe that he really did what he said he would do. And this, listen, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." What does that mean? That means if we love him, we'll do what he says. If we love him, we'll take his word and we'll live our lives with the word as our standard. But watch this. We'll do it out of faith, not out of religious duty. What does that mean? I can't live this word outside of the power of God inside of me, giving me the capacity to do it. But here's what I need to be awesomely aware of all the time. If I'm living my life according to what I think is the word, and then I read the word, and then I find, oh, I can't live it like that. I have to change, so I'm living it like he says I want to live. Why? Because I want my joy level to be up here and not down here. Right? Come on. If your car says to change the oil every 5,000 miles, it'll last a lot longer if you do that. If it says don't let your car run out of oil and you do, like my son did once, I saw the oil light, but I thought I had enough. We got him a different car. But the point is, doing it his way is the best way. Even if you don't think so, it's the way that's going to work out the best for you. And again, it may not be happy at the time, but if you'll begin to walk in it, the joy will come out of it. I must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Again, I get my joy from knowing that if I seek him, I'm going to find him. But I might not have joy in the seeking. In other words, I might have trouble going on. Things might not be going right. But instead of running away from the light and trying to do it my way, I'm going to run back to the light and say, "God, I surrender. I give it all to you. I'm yours. Come on, I'm yours." Because there's joy in doing it his way. Amen? And what is His commandment? What commandment are we supposed to follow? Jesus said it this way. There's a new commandment that I give unto you. He said that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, just as I do. That you love one another just as I do. We can't even do that without His love inside of us. But in Romans chapter 5, it says that His love has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. I have the love of God on the inside of me. If I choose to love like He wants me to, I can. I just don't want to love them. Listen, I don't want to forgive them. You don't know what they did to me. That attitude's keeping your joy level right down here. Because you're chained to them by your unforgiveness. But when you say, Lord, I'm going to give them to you. I don't have to get justified. I don't have to, you know, be proven right. Nothing. I'm going to leave that with you. And I'm going to live for you. And I'm just going to rest in the fact that you'll do right. You know, this is really true. If you think about people that you'd like to get back at. Don't mention any names, but think about somebody that's really done you wrong. I guarantee you, if you had a picture of hell, you wouldn't want them there. I said, if you had a picture of hell, you wouldn't want them there. So we begin to pray for them and ask God to reveal Himself. But if we want joy with Jesus, we have to walk in the way that He wants us to walk. We can't walk any way that we want to walk and expect to have the good results. Right? The Bible says, watch this, the Bible says we got to keep His commandments, but all of the commandments are wrapped in that if we love Him and love our neighbors ourselves, we can fulfill all of them. Hallelujah. But joy comes with walking with Jesus. Go to Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5. We're going to look at a few of these. Glory to God. I've noticed that I can praise my way out of depression. I said I can praise my way out of feeling blue. It's not easy, and I don't want to. And I want to call five people and tell them how bad I've got it. I especially want to call somebody that I know has heard the other side of the story, and I want them to hear my side of the story. But I figured out a long time ago that doesn't work. Because it just keeps the circle spinning. But if I'll trust God, come on, if I trust Him, if I trust Him and I believe in Him, He'll straighten things out. Psalm 5 and verse 11 says, but let all of those rejoice who put their trust in you. Anybody trust Him? When's the last time you rejoiced about it? Well, praise the Lord. That's not rejoicing. That's not rejoicing. Let me give you a picture of rejoicing. The Seahawks buried the Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl. And everywhere in Seattle, there was rejoicing. People in living rooms screaming at a television screen, rejoicing. That's rejoicing. When's the last time you had a fit for God? Woo! Glory to God. What would I have a fit for God for? He loves me. He redeemed me. He saved me. He talks to me. Right? He helped me out when I needed it. Come on. He picked me up when I was down. But let all of those who put their trust in you rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those who love your name be joyful in you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I think husbands and wife would do good. Well, praise the Lord anyway. Praise the Lord anyway. Well, the car broke down. Well, praise the Lord anyway. Well, this happened or this bill is too big. Well, praise the Lord anyway. Hallelujah, because He's our deliverer, He's our provider, He's the one who will take care of us. Hallelujah, in 100 years it's not going to make a hill of beans difference to anybody anyway, but we'll be with Him, right? We're going to be with, who's president? Well, I don't care, I'm with Him, right? Is the United States going to prosper and be, I hope so. I love my country, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter because when I die, I'm going to be with Him, and I'm not really going to be concerned about which country is ahead. So I might as well start rejoicing now. I might as well start thinking about that now. Go to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. What does joy look like? Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, that's just emotionalism. Okay. I'm good with that. I like it when I shout for joy. I like feeling good. It felt good when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl. Right? I mean, it felt good. I mean, everybody was happy. Right? So I can sustain my joy in Him. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God will show you what to do. If you seek Him, He'll show you what to do. And it doesn't matter what you're going through or what you have to go through, if He's with you, there's joy in the midst of it. Again, it's what Paul said when he said, I've learned whatever state I'm in there and to be content. Why? Because God is with me. And His joy is for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In His presence and keeping Him in the midst of the picture, it's amazing how much favor He'll give you. I remember we almost got kicked out of a building because I won't go into the whole story, but we had to go before the people were renting the building from, and we're going in, and they were ready to kick us out over something, but it doesn't. But I just went in and said, Lord, I thank you that I have favor with you and I have favor with man. And as we're sitting in there talking to him, to this a couple of people, the manager and her boss, the presence of God just came in the room. And her boss was, she made this statement, I don't know why you Christians make such a big deal out of the blood of Jesus. And inside of me, in my spirit, it rose up inside of me. I said, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The man turns over and says, I don't see any problem with these people. Right? And we went on, but we brought the presence of God into a situation that was not favorable. Well, what would have happened if it turned out unfavorable and they kicked us out? Praise the Lord. He's with us anyway, right? But you've got to begin and continue to keep His joy in the presence of you and you in the presence of Him. Psalm 27. Hallelujah. And verse 6 says this, and now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. I like that, sacrifices of joy. What does that mean? Well, in the Old Testament, there was actual prescribed things you had to do for a sacrifice. In joy, it was accompanied by, certain animal rituals, sacrifice, all that. But in the New Testament, the sacrifice of joy is speaking and praising Him when you don't feel like it. when you want to cry out to Him, when you want to yell, "Why, God? Why me? Why is this happening to me?" Well, first of all, you probably don't want to know the answer. But the second part of that is that that doesn't matter. Because even if you messed up, He'll help you up if you submit yourself to Him. So I can shout for joy in the midst of whatever I'm going through, because God will never leave me nor forsake me. You know, people will leave you. Churches will forsake you. But He never will. I said He never will. I said He never will. Go to 30, verse 5. I love this. "For His anger is but for a moment, but His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Glory to God. It may not seem pleasant right now, but I'm just sticking with Him because His joy is coming with me, is coming over me forever and ever and ever. Let's do a couple more and then we'll close. How many need joy today? Come on, how many just, "Lord, things haven't been going right for me. There's some issues in my life, but I need Your joy right now." Well, you got to trust that He's the one that gives you joy and will keep you in joy, will lead you in the path that you should go. Amen? John chapter 15. Hallelujah. You know what I like about Him is He's a personal God. He'll meet you right where you are. Listen to this. Verse 11, it says, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full." Did you know that Jesus joys over you? Jesus is crazy about you. In Zephaniah, it talks about how God actually dances. In fact, in some versions, it says that He stands up, He jumps, and He spins in the presence of His people. This isn't correct grammatically, but you're one of His people. Amen. You're His peeps. Amen. Right? And He joys over you. "God, you really love me?" "Yes, I really love you." I've told this story before, but I have the mic so I can tell it again. I was reading after this fellow, and he had a vision of heaven, and he was before the throne of God, and God spoke to him and said, "Do you want to see how I see you?" And his response would have been most of our response, "Oh God, no, 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 no. You know every thought that I've ever had. You've never, everything that I've ever done. Oh God, no, 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 no. No, I don't want you. No." But He showed him Himself. And he was clothed in this armor that was just bright as the sun. And this suit that was just incredibly magnificent. And he looked like a warrior before his king. Why? Because the blood of Jesus is just that powerful. It's just that much. He said, "I want you to know that I joy in you. And that joy that I joy in you should come for you to keep your tank full of joy." Hallelujah. One more and then we'll close. Acts 20. Glory, 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 glory. Y'all doing all right? Acts 20, verse 22 says this. And again, this is Paul. He just had a prophet say to him, "Listen, if you go into Jerusalem, you're going to be bound in chains and, you know, things aren't going to be very good for you." But listen to what he says. "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life as dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and my ministry which I've received from the Lord to testify the gospel of grace of God. I want to finish my race with joy. I just want to do what He tells me to do, because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. There's a verse in the Bible that says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And I know that's our heart's cry, that all of us would hear that. But God's joy is with you. It's in you. He's for you. Glory to God. God is with you. He loves you. Hallelujah. Pursue Him. Talk to Him. Rejoice in Him today. Father God, in Jesus' name, we come before You. We thank You for Your Word. I thank You for everybody that's listening, Lord. We all thank You for the mothers that You gave to us, Lord. We just want to honor You today. And Lord, if there's anybody who's listening to the words that I've spoken and that You've spoken through me, Lord, I just pray that they would turn their hearts back to You. That they would submit their lives to You, and that they find Your Word and begin to read it and begin to just know that You know best. And Lord, I ask You to fill them with Your Spirit even right now in Jesus' name. You know, the Lord said, if you'll seek Him, you'll find Him. And this morning, if you'll trust God, if you'll begin to seek God, He'll make Himself known to you. And your joy level can go from zero to full. And you can keep it topped off by rejoicing with Him in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray, Father, that anybody that's suffering who's watching online, God, that You would just touch them in their physical body. I thank You that the anointing is going out to them right now. Father, I thank You that joy is replacing depression. And Lord, I thank You, God, for lifting them up in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us. If I could have the worship team come up. We're going to go out with joy. If anybody